I think so. From Yerushalayim, from now, for the summer, we'll try to continue on Zoom. I'm going to be upstate, so we'll try to, for those, we'll just try to make it in Yerushalayim the same time and the same way of getting in with the Zoom. Okay. We're on page Reish Chaf in this edition, Kuf Tzad Dalet, in the other edition. We're talking about the beginning of his bodas. Toido Vahido, of thanking Hashem. And thanking Hashem's Baruch for everything. For everything, for those things in life that we experience as good and exciting and happy, and for those things in life that we experience as challenges, as difficulties, but to be thankful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we're learning why that's the beginning of Hizbardus. And that's the way that we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we're learning about being able to make that connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way, as the initiation of the relationship that's necessary for Hizbardus. So on the top of page Reish Chaf, Kupsadik Dalad. Rav Nosson, Marenu, Rav Nosson, Oymesh, Odom, and Shein HaOsek, Betoda V'Hado, Yechon Chas HaShom Yisur, and Shalah Havir Al-Dai, Toi, V'Adas Koinai. Rav Nosson said a very strong thing. He said that a person who is not Oysek in this, a person who is not, who does not live this way, of being able to see that love of Hashem, and to feel that hand of Hashem is about reaching out in a loving way during a time of difficulty, that person, that person is suffering with difficulties in life, because we all have challenges and difficulties, but this person can mamish lose his mind. The person doesn't live a life of toy divahido, as I was framing it last week. If somebody is a member of the B'nai Merari Club, right? Or the Misonanim Club, the ones who see darkness everywhere they turn and they see nothing to be grateful for. So those individuals, they could go, when they go through difficulties, when they go through tsaros, even if they're minor problems or minor difficulties, they can go mamish out of their minds, as Nosson says. They can go out of their minds. And you see that nowadays. You see people who, when you talk to them, the inyanim that they're struggling with are relatively, again, we should always validate any person's difficulties, because that person's suffering from that. Even in the same way that if a child is screaming and crying because he was playing with some toy soldiers and somebody took away his little soldier and he's crying. So you don't say, what's the matter? Are you stupid? It's just a little plastic thing. You don't do that. That child, for that child, that toy soldier, that's his whole world, right? That's his whole world. And as you get older, so then there are different toys. So this one, if you turn off this one's television, that's his whole world. If you take away this one's girlfriend, that's his whole world. So even though you might say, like, what's the big deal? Come on. But for that person, that's very, very important. And that person is suffering from that loss. Whatever that is in that person's life, even though to the observer this might seem like it's silly or insignificant, so we always have to be careful that never, ever, chalila, to make fun or to look at somebody else's difficulties as silly or small. For that person, it's a chashuva thing. Okay, but having said that, so you could hear somebody talk about something which is lamaisa, which is not the earth shattering. In the veld, it's not something which is tragic. Nobody died, thank God. Everybody's healthy. You have what you need in life, and yet that person is reeling in pain. The person simply cannot get past the yisurim of that experience of whatever it is, or that disappointment. Can't get past it. And again, not making light of anybody's yisurim, but what Rabbi Nosson is saying is that if you're not oisik b'toy devodah, if you have a dark way of looking at life, and you don't have a way of gratitude and thankfulness to your parents, to your husband, to your wife, to your friend, to your kids, if you don't live a life of hodah, of thanking, of gratitude, not because it says someplace in some sefer that you read that you have to have a karsa tov, and if you're not, and if you don't have a karsa tov, then you're like a nasty person. Or it's not because there's a din that you have to have a karsa tov, or that the beginning of menschlichkeit is to be makir tov, that when someone's good to you, that you're grateful, that you're thankful for what you have in your life. And the chlal, to look at your life in a positive way, not because there's a din like that. Not because someone told you. It's because you actually work hard to bring yourself to a place where you feel that gratitude. That you feel bad, some grateful for all the good that you have in your life. When that person goes through Yisurim, his mind or her mind is so trained to try to find the good in his life and her life, because it's a life of gratitude. It's a life that's positive. So then that person is able to hold on to that hand and to be pulled up from the Yisurim and to be able to move on. But if you don't have that in your life, then you just get swallowed up in the dark, in that darkness. You get swallowed up by it. So that's what Rabbi Nosson is saying. It could cause you to lose your mind. That doesn't mean to go crazy. It means to become a person that's depressed, that's broken. And about das kaina, you don't have anything to do with Hashem. Why would I want to do anything with him? What does he do for me? There's nothing for me. What do I have from him? I have only tzaras, I have aggravation, so on. Let time v'la'akimis libo me'ashemzbar, to close the heart, Hashem, to make the heart closed or crooked, but not to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a person can't daven anymore. Can't daven anymore. Sometimes you meet someone like that, and they've been through difficulties, and you're thinking, wow, you really could use davening. Davening would help you a lot. And that person tells you, I can't daven. I can't daven. I'm not able to open my mouth to daven. If you look around in shuls, wherever you go in the world, look around the shuls. The shuls are, I'm not talking about the people that don't go to shul. I'm talking about the people who are in shul who can't daven. People who are not going to shul. There are a lot of people who are not in shul who can't daven. And there are a lot of people who are in shul who can't daven. But the bottom line is, there are people who they can't bring themselves to daven. They can't bring themselves to daven. They're so hurt. They feel such an emptiness. They feel such a darkness. Now, even though emptiness is a t'nai for tefillah, it's a tonight, it's a condition. The more empty Rabbi Tzaddik says, the emptier the person feels, the more open he is to crying out, right? The more empty you are, the more you should be longing to be filled and to recognize that the only one who could fill that emptiness is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, it's not clear exactly how davening worked during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There were different days, there were different opinions. It certainly did not look like we have in Shul now. A regular Seder HaTefillah, whatever was going on. But the Baal Tanya says that we really began to daven after the Churban. That's when davening began. And even the word, in the Tanya says that the word Midbar, which means a desert, is the same word as Medaber, speaking, right? Because the Tanya says that when a person feels that he's in a Midbar, that he's desperate, that he's alone, that he's in trouble, So when a person feels that way, that he's in the midbar, then he wants to, he naturally, rotzel daber, he wants to speak. And it was to daven, to cry out for help. But there are people who simply can't daven. They can't open their mouths to daven. That's what Nelson is saying. Because when a person's angry, and if he feels that Hashem hates him and that the whole world is against him, or if a person feels disgusting and low, that he feels that Hashem would never ever want to hear from him because he's such an unworthy person, why would God ever want to hear from a person like me? And if he feels that his whole life is just a story of an unworthy person being punished for his unworthiness, so then there are people that they can't have. They just don't want to have. They don't want to daven. They can't daven. But the Tanya says that Davke, when there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash, Davka, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the lights went out and we felt that we were in the Midbar, then we began to daven. The whole Seder Tefillah began really after the Churban. Our whole way of being daveners. Yeah, there was always davening. People always spoke to Hashem, but the whole inyan of Tefillah B'Tzibur and the Avodah of Tefillah and the Seder Tefillah and the Koyach of Dovin HaMelech, all of that really is for people who are in the Midbar, for people in the desert. If you look in Tehillim, some of Dovin HaMelech, the strongest capital of Tehillim, where it says we're in the Midbar. We see that we're in the Midbar. Eretz Tziyah, Bli Mayim. When a person is able to admit, to acknowledge that I'm in the desert, in a midbar, he becomes a medaber. But sometimes a person can't do that. And the reason that they can't do that is because of this inability to see any good in his life and in himself. He doesn't see any good in himself. He doesn't see any good in his life. He sees himself as being someone that's disgusting, that Hashem can't stand. So he doesn't want to daven. Can't daven. Was l'daylo shalo yispalo v'yivakesh rachm ela sheyif nalibu chas shomei Hashem. Adarab, not only this person, you know, you feel like telling this person, you should be like the next David HaMelech. You have such tzaris. You have such yisurim. You have so much pain in your life. You should be the next David HaMelech. You should be the next Rabbi Nachman. You should be the biggest davener that ever lived. And he says, me, daven? Do me a favor. He can't think of daven. Not like some people, they daven a little bit. Every now and then they dabble in davening, you know? He can't daven at all. Not because he doesn't care, because he's in such pain, and he doesn't see any reason for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to him. And he doesn't feel any gratitude for anything in his life because he sees that everything is dark and miserable. And I was telling this the whole COVID, every conversation I had with the COVID people, you know, the ones that like they just can't let go of it. There's still people like that, they can't let go of it. And every conversation, because I was all the time on talking to Chevra on the phone about this, and people were also very angry at me because they thought I was being makel, and you know, that whole tkufa was such a strange tkufa. Every conversation was on this nakuda. Listen to look at the words. Ukisha Odam Nimshach Achar Hatzar Vatsar. But memorize the words. Ukisha Odam Nimshach Achar Hatzar Vatsar. And there are many makaris for this in Chazal. If a person is drawn after Tsaris, and Tsar, I don't have to translate that. Hatzar Nimshach Achrav Chasar Shalom. You hear the words? I'll translate. I know, even though I know you all know what they mean, but they have to be. And that's every conversation during that crazy time was to tell people, stop talking about it already. Stop thinking about it already. Drop this whole inyan already. It could happen. You get sick and God forbid, you might die. Stop talking about it. Because why? If you really want to get COVID, think about it and talk about it. That's guaranteed you're next on the list. Because there's nothing that the Malach HaMavos loves more than people who are living in blackness, in fear, in darkness, in the ones who are living in tsar and in tsara. K'sh'odam nimshach achar hatsara v'hatsar. There was a guy that lived here in this neighborhood, didn't have in the shul. He was living there. He's already not in the world for a number of years. I don't remember his name. But I do remember that whenever I would meet this guy, any time I met him, he would say something like, you know, so-and-so? And I'd say, no. He said, oh, yeah. You should know from it. He's 45 years old. He died. He left three kids. Shkai, how are you? What do you think about the Yankees? I don't know. You learn the daf. What do you do besides that? Like Mamish the Grim Reaper. I never saw such a thing like that. And I remember every time I met him, he was with Tsaris. He was always talking about Tsaris, either Tsaris that happened that day or Tsaris from Mulgatsar, you know, like what happened or what's going to happen. But he was completely Shakur in darkness, this guy. And he was always talking about about this doctor he went to and that doctor he went to. And sometimes he came here to daven a little bit. It would seem a little bit, but I just didn't want to, honestly, I tried to run away from this guy. And he was always talking to me about this medication, that way. And I remember I came home one day, I met him, I said to my wife we have to daven for this guy, because this is like he's dancing with the Malach HaMavis. He walks every minute, the Baruch Hashem gave him a life, and he has like a chavrusa, the Malach HaMavis. Why would you want to have such a chavrusa? Take a nice person as a chavrusa. He has a Malach HaMavis, it's a chavrusa. And you know what? The guy died. Right? He was less than 60 when he died. I remember exactly where I was. We were in the country, and I remember when I heard that he had passed away. And I said to my wife, remember I spoke to you about this? That this person was so in the union of death and misery. Hashem Yoachem. K'sha'odam nimshach acha hatzar v'atzar. If you're attracted to tzaras, if that's one of your favorite subjects, in other words, if you always look at the blackness in your life, if you nimshach acha hatzar, then Hatzar nimshach acha hatzar. Then tzar is drawn to you. That's how you draw tzar into your life, by thinking about it, by talking about it, by being obsessed with it, by seeing always negative things in other people and negative things in yourself, by looking at the darkness and looking at the world through those dark lenses. Chalila, chalila, chalila. Hatzar nimshach achra chasasham. And we saw that, like with the COVID thing, what was going on with this. It was crazy. And time after time, I was hearing about this, that the ones that were screaming and yelling the most, and they were all suited up, like with outfits and things, and all kinds of from outer space. You know, they were wearing like space suits and doing all kinds of things, and you know, not to let anybody, you know, go to the unless there's another house or another whatever. The ones that were, again, understanding that there were people with sick lo'aleinu, and there were things that had to be kept properly, all the things that were necessary. But I'm talking about the ones that were crazy with the chumras, in this English. The chumras, like all kinds of chumras. Not like, you know, outdoors, nobody around and masked, you know, all of this stuff. Always when I see the people, even now when I see those people, I get nervous for them. I get nervous, like, why are you walking around in broad daylight, and like why are you walking around with that thing on your face? So my wife says, well, maybe he's compromised. You know, that's the new, I never heard that word before, except when it came to compromising. But now maybe he's compromised. So I understand there's such a thing. Maybe God forbid the person is not well. But what doctor is telling you to walk around now? I'm saying in after Shavuos, Tavshin Pei Beis, to walk around in an empty street with a mask on your face. From what? It's called a Nimshach Achar Hatzar. Hatzar is Nimshach Achar Chalila Chalila. It draws service to a person. There is such a mitzvah in the world. And it's not some Kabbalistic thing. It makes sense even psychologically. You would understand that a person becomes much more vulnerable and prone to things. And when you don't have his chaskis and you're a person that's weak and you're afraid, you live in. I never studied the psychology of this, but a person who's Molei Pchadim, Rav Kook speaks about it in the Midas Haraya. He speaks about this. He talks in the section on Pachad. On fear. People always have daigus. People always worry. People are nervous and worry. The worry, the nervousness is always a self, they call it a self-fulfilling prophecy. But it's true. It's nimshach achra. Because those people are always afraid. And those people are always nervous. They're living in a certain darkness. And in that darkness, there's bacteria. There are viruses in the darkness. Just like when you... There's certain stones and rocks, especially in the summer. Don't lift them, don't pick them up, you know? Because you know what you're going to find if you pick up some rock outside in the summer? You'll find creepy things. You'll find creepy things crawling around. So don't pick it up. But there are people, like that guy that I was talking about that died, there are people that they're always looking underneath, like in dark places. And there are like slugs and cockroaches. There are scary things, all kinds of viruses. They're always talking about corona. So they're always lifting up and looking, where's corona? And they look for corona. There are all kinds of things crawling around in that place of darkness. A Jew who lives with simcha and lives with haidah and gratitude and looks at to see the toif, the nekudas toivus, the see in himself, the see in everybody else, and lives a life of kaf schudas, like Rabbi Nachman talks about in Rish Pei Beis, the whole Rish Pei Beis. He lives in that mokum. He lives in that mokum, which Rabbi Nachman talks about in Rish Pei Beis. That's what it means. A mokum that a person has, you and I make, each one of us makes for ourselves in life a mokum. And you have it, and we decide whether you want that mokum to be a mokum of kaf schus, a mokum that's a mokum of simcha, a mokum of light, or if it's a mokum of sadness and darkness. And don't say, and whenever people tell me, because my neighborhood, it's because of my neighborhood. I'm in a bad neighborhood, or I'm in a bad yeshiva, or I have bad parents, I have a bad house, I have a bad shul. Those are the B'nai Merari. They always use that. They always talk about the place they're in, right? The mokum, look in Reish Pei Beis, you see. It's bonam mokum ve'einen. When you look, the kaf schus, if you're a person that looks at things in a way of toida, of hoda, then that's your mokum. That's your mokum. And that person who has that mokum in life, even if he's in a prison cell, he sees the good in that prison cell. And the person who lives in a mokum that's a mokum ra, meaning inside of himself, you could put him inside the most beautiful, beautiful country club someplace. By a palm tree and on the beach, and he's looking at the ocean, and he said, "What's that stupid bird making so much noise on my beach?" And that's it, and he's finished. I can't believe it that they said it was going to be 78 degrees, and today it's only 74. That's your mokum. That's wherever you are in life, you take yourself. And you set up you put down your flag, and you put down your tent, and you set yourself up. That's your place. Wherever you are in life, that's your mokum. That's your mokum. The inyan of kaf schus is that it's so strong, like Rabbi Nachman speaks about, it's so strong to look at somebody and to try to see the good in the person that you could actually change that person's mokum. If you look at that other person in such a positive way, and you say good words to another person, and you try to point out the nekudas taivus in that person, you could actually change his place. Even a rasha, that's Rabbi Nachman's story, that's the pasuk's talking about. Even a rasha, that you look at the place that he was in, it's not the same place. Yesh lo makom acher. Because your makom is where you are. That's your dalet amos. It makes no difference. Think about yourselves, and think about how it works in life. If you're going through a difficult time, a tough time, then you're in this place, you're in that place, you take yourself with you. If you're negative, if you're angry, if you look at things in a dark way, that's what you'll take with you wherever you go. But yikach karach, it's not this Shabbos, no, it's just it's karach. But yikach karach, wherever karach went, he took karach. Mekach ra, Chazal say, Rashi bring a mekach ra, he took berg tzchayr from himself. That was himself. Vayikach karach. And that's a big problem because wherever you go, you always take yourself. Right? Have any of you ever gone someplace where you weren't there? Should we ever go someplace where you weren't there? Even with Zoom, no? You're at the telephone. None of us have ever been someplace and we weren't there. You never came someplace and said, gee, I wonder where I am. I mean, unless you're high. otherwise, you never came someplace and said, gee, where's Maish? I don't know where Maish is. I mean, that's only crazy people. So that's your place. So I'm in the wrong shir. This Rebbe messed up my life. This one messed up my life. And this one did this to me. And this one did that to me. And the politics and the corona and the economy. And I used to be rich and I don't have any money. That messed up my life. That's so someone says, why are you so unga blues? Why are you so angry always? Why are you? Because I used to be rich, now I'm poor. So that's why. And this one, I used to be like this, I didn't like that. Because I married you, that's why I'm the. all the explanations that a person has. But the problem is that it's your mokum. It's your mokum. And that mokum is defined by you. Nobody in the world can define your mokum, only you. That's the other base of life. No one else can define the mokum you're in except for you. That's your kind of your dalet amos. Those are your dharamas. That's your life. And wherever you go, that's your mokum. And people could feel that in you right away. People could feel that. You know, some people in this will know that when I walk around Friday night, which is, I love doing that to see everybody, and I walk around Friday night, So sometimes I'll see, especially if I'll see a bacha that's not smiling. So what's the matter with you? It's Friday night. What's wrong with you? What are you standing here? Say good Shabbos, good Shabbos. So what's the matter with you? But then you have the ones that can't even say good Shabbos. You pass somebody in the street that can't even say good Shabbos. What's wrong with you? It's good Shabbos. So other people see that too. You're welcome. Sometimes you have a person that they can't make friends, they can't get into, they have problems with relationships, and you're broadcasting a negativity. It shows on your face that your mokum is a bad mokum. People stay away from me. I don't go into that rack with you. I go into the rack with you. There are all kinds of scary things in there. I have my own problems. I don't go into your rack. You can see in a person that the person is not shining. Person, not that he doesn't have reasons. Everybody has reasons. You don't have reasons. Everybody has reasons not to be b'simcha. But there's some people who make their mokum, they decide to make their mokum a mokum that's lichtig. And other people decide to make their mokum, or they say they didn't decide, they can't control, whatever it is. Their mokum is a mokum that's like a rack with slugs underneath it. And nobody wants to pick that up. I don't want to go over there. I have my own inyonim. I got to go over to his inyonim. They wonder why that come out. This one left me, that one left me, and I don't have friends, and this one doesn't want to be with me. And how come my kid doesn't want to talk to me, and my husband doesn't want, my wife doesn't want to talk to me? You look at yourself. That's the mockum that you made. Nobody wants to have anything to do with you. So you made that mockum. And now you're wondering why nobody wants to come to your mockum. It's not a hospitable place. You're not a good machna zorchan. Nobody wants to come to your mockum. And they, of course, that's not how they feel. They feel that this one's a rush. That one's a Russian. Everybody's a Russian. How come they didn't? And this one didn't say this to me. That one didn't say. And this one, how come they left me? And how come this one? And my kid, this one doesn't talk to me. My kid didn't call me in 3 weeks. Why is it that your kid doesn't want to call me? My kid's a Russian. No, your kid's not a Russian. Look at yourself. And you see yourself. And realize that there's a mockum that you made for yourself in this world. You're not stuck in that mockum. You can change your mockum. But don't wait for somebody else to change it for you. You have to change it yourself. I'd hoist of a beer. So what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that if you set up a mockum that's called Tsaris, I'm about Tsaris. So then Tsaris could say, oh, they see a thing that says this is a place for Tsaris. And all the Tsaris see, this is a place for Tsaris. This is a place for Tsaris. Because you set up a place and your mockum says on it, Tsaris. So then all the tsaros look at that and say, hey, the tsaros say to each other, you see, this is a good place we can go here, tsaros. And they all go hang out in a place that's called tsaros, this tsarosville. And they all go, all the tsaros go to this place, kfar, tsaros, kiyat, tsaros, whatever it is. They all go to this place with this tsaros. That's what it means. It's a pachad to live in such a way. And Rabbi Nachman goes on and explains over there, the ikar tzarihi kshemargish shekra ein lo takana. When a person's hopeless, he feels ein lo takana. I'm done. There's no takana. I have no takana. Vaza sitra achra v'yetzar mefata oyesoy lo mesh Hashem azra. Then the yetzar comes, the other side comes and says, you're right, you have no takana, and Hashem has left you. Because a person sometimes feels that there's no b'derech teva, I have no hope. But Hashem is not b'derech teva. Hashem is not m'shubet teva. But this person feels hopeless, so then Hashem is out of the picture. Hashem also, that even Hashem has left me. Lefamim, sometimes, k'shedvar min Hashemayim oivrim al ha'adam. So now here it gets tricky. Listen carefully. Sometimes, when something happens to a person, let's say, God forbid, you get into a car accident or something happens, the market, something fell. So things happen in a shamayim, and a person, very often a person who's a ma'amin, when those things happen, he's mechazik himself. Mechazik himself and says, it's called the ma'am, everything Hashem does is for the best, and I'm a kabbalit behava, that Hashem did this. Person gets sick. These are things that happen. Hashem does such things for whatever reason. Whatever Hashem does is latav. So most ma'aminim can, it might not initially, it might be hard, but they can come to that. They can come call my Dov Rachman Latav, and they go over a few things in this farm, chazals, strengthen themselves, maybe a friend gives a little chizik or something, and they're okay. But here's where it gets tricky. Avok Shibnei Odom Matsikim Viroid Fimis Odom. When he's been on the chaveo, that's when it gets much harder. Right? Not if you get stuck in a tornado or something, chas v'shalom. But when someone does something really disgusting to you, that's much harder. It's much harder to say, I'm okay. Kol ma'ad av rachma l'ata. It's much harder, right? Because when it comes to what's called, what people say is being okay, nature, the world, sometimes it happens. It's a bad day in the stock market. Sometimes it happens that a person gets sick, or even, God forbid, someone dies because of this or because of that. But when you have a person who has hurt you, who has insulted you, when you have a person in your life who has done that to you, done some terrible things to you, someone that's making your life miserable, so then it's not so easy to say that this is Menashe Mayim. Because the feeling is, it's not, what do you mean Menashe Mayim? It's been this guy. It's not Menashe Mayim. This guy is doing this to me. I know who my Raidif is. My Raidif is this person. I know who's chasing me. I know who's bothering me. It's this person. Shrei him right from Oisi, Neged Ratzon Hashem. And my feeling is that that person is doing something terrible. And what that person is doing is Neged Ratzon Hashem. He's a bad person. And that person is doing something Neged Ratzon Hashem. Somebody stole something from you. If you lose your money, whatever happened, you lost your money. So then you could be like that religious thing about, oh, listen, you go to Rav Meir Balanes, you put something in the pushka, you wait a week or two, it doesn't come back. You say, okay, I love you anyway, Hashem. That's how I know it must be something. It should be a kapara. But how many people do you see that on a madrega that when someone, they know the person who stole from them, or the person who's insulting them, or the person who's hurting their life, and say, okay, I'll go put something in the pushka of Meir Balanes to help bring that person back to do tshuva, and that I'm totally happy with that Hashem brought me in my life. It's much harder to do that. When you know the ganav, it's much harder to do that. Right? It's much, much harder. When it's been on the chaveru, because the other feeling is that person is doing something against Ratzon Hashem. So if it's against God's will, because that's an aveira. That person did an aveira to me. So if it's against God's will, it means I can't say, all that God wants is for the best. Because that guy is doing something that God doesn't want. Right? Now, if that person, this is the lumbus of it. If that person is doing something that God doesn't want, then I have every reason in the world to be angry and upset. Because he's doing something that God doesn't want. When God does something to me, God, I understand, God, I'm Michael. When God does something to me, I get it. Who am I? Sof kol sof, he's God. So he must have some big master plan. But this guy doesn't have any big master plan that he insulted me. He's just an idiot. So there's no big master plan. So he insulted me. That's against God's will. It means that God didn't want that. So if God didn't want it and I didn't want it, then I'm upset. And I don't like this guy. And I'm very, very upset. And there I am. I'm in that dark place. I'm in the dark place. This guy brought me to a dark place. He did something against God's will by hurting me. So I can't excuse him by saying that God wanted that, because what he did is an aveira. Now this is a little bit of a theological dilemma. Uh-huh. So the Tzaddikim Baruch Hashem, we have the big Torah, the Tzaddikim with Aruch HaMakom, there's others. Tzaddikim talk about this, like how did Yosef HaTzadok get his brothers? We'll talk about it in a minute. Yosef HaTzadok and his brothers. So the brothers say, Yosef HaTzadok tells his brothers, the brothers are feeling, oh boy, the game is over. And Yosef HaTzadok says, Hashem sent me to bring life for this generation, for all Jews who are ever going to live. Hashem sent me, Yosef, to Mitzrayim. So guys, I'm okay. So how do you think of Yosef, that line? Like, how does that make you feel, that whole conversation between Yosef and his brothers? People have a lot of feelings about that. I mean, that whole parasha is the most emotional. Parsha in Chumash, right? Yosef and the brothers. So, like, how do you feel about that? Yosef's brothers did this whole thing. This, okay, they had they're big people who don't understand that they had big cheshbonos, the big tzaddikim. But sof kol sof, it wasn't a nice thing they did. And Yosef says, he says to his brothers, don't be sad. Because Hashem sent me to Mitzrayim. So, like, what do you make of that? So does that mean that the brothers didn't have free choice? The brothers were forced to throw him into the pit? The brothers were forced to do that to him, to their brother? They were forced. So this is a question that's discussed many, many svarim. How to understand this, how to look at it. And it's one of those inyanim that's touching upon the sugi of Bechira and Yediyah, that our minds don't know how to reach that place. We don't know how to understand that place really in a deep way, in the deepest way. But this is the problem that a person has. The problem is, how could I be grateful to Hashem, or how could I be continue being happy with this person who's right this for me, who's doing this to me, who's done this to me, when this was against God's will? Because that's a mistake. It's not against God's will. Because you and I cannot lift up our fingers with that against God's will, let alone do anything like that. We can't do anything with that against God's will. It's not possible for a human being to do anything against Hashem's will. What that person's doing is an aveira, and that's a cheshbon he has with Hashem. That's his own cheshbon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he signed up, that he volunteered to be such a shliach. That's something else. That why is it that he is a shliach to carry out Hashem's will? But this is the story of David HaMelech and Shimi ben Gera. It's a very, very clear parasha in Navi. Let's read. Let's learn. Hare hema friemli. So these people are bothering me. Lo mem nesha Hashem sholach osam. Not because they were sent, not because Hashem sent them. They're bad people. Shrei zen negev et Sinai. And then you start to go, well, so does that mean, so how could I hate, I'm not supposed to hate a Moloch, I'm not supposed to hate Hitler? Because Hitler was a shliach, Yimach Shemo. Power was a shliach. So therefore, I'm supposed to put Power's picture on my wall. So this is a problem, that how to think about all of this. So it's an egoist sign. Tzarech ladas, shum nivra, and yachalasas l'odam u'uma, and leishan nigzer love. Person has to know that absolutely nothing can happen in your life unless there was a gzeir meshamayim that should happen to you. It doesn't let Hitler off the hook, you understand? Just like the Rambam says, it doesn't let Power off the hook either. But that it happened to you? Tzarech ladas sheshum nirva enu yochel lasas l'adam mu'uma im leisha nigzer lav, unless there was a gzeir, for whatever reason. And doesn't mean you have to look at it as a punishment. That's like it's a punishment. There are many other reasons why it doesn't be a punishment. And certainly, certainly for your good, 100% for your good. Even though that person is going to be punished for what he did to you, he's going to be punished. He didn't have air. Kilo is kavin klalas is Ratzon Hashem. He wasn't intending to do the Ratzon Hashem. He just wanted to do what he wanted. And he hurt you. There's no shaykhis between what that person has to, what his inyan was Hashem, and the fact that you had to go through a tzar. That's nothing happens without Hashem. No such thing. V'amalekut ha'alachis, ha'shakosav is a svarm, there's a lot written in the svarm about this inyan. And again, something that we can't wrap our brains around. It's one of those things in the Chalapan that we can't understand, that has to do with Bechir and Yediyah, but we can't understand. But that's what makes us into Ma'aminim. They were Ma'aminim. That knows, even though this guy's a bad guy, rather, even though this guy made a bad choice in his life, he made a poor choice, and he didn't have Eira. But the Messias is that's an inni between him and Hashem, but that I had to go through this, the same way that I had to go through if there was a tornado, or I had to go through the market crash, I had to go through this also. Finished. Therefore, whenever a person comes to pour his heart out, talk to Hashem, becoming his brothers, to talk to Hashem about the Tsar. Sarach laharbas betfilu v'sachanunu levakesh tein li emuna. You have to ask Hashem, please help me, tein li emuna. Help me to believe that this is you. Tein li emuna. But that it's you, and I don't start hating Hashem. Because that's what happens to a lot of people. That it's you, but I know that it's, since I know that it's you, I know there could only be Latoivasi. And whatever you have with that person, that's not my business, what you have with that person. Tainli emuna. Sha'amin, sha'af echad, help me to believe. Sha'af echad ba'olam eriyochel asas li mu'uma. That nobody in the world could do anything to me. Mu'uma. No one could do anything to harm me. That's called emuna. It's a world of emuna. It's a world of yidia. It's a world of emuna. You're now in another, you're in some a different zone. The world of emuna is a world of Hashem knowing what's best for you. It's not a world of bechira. That's something else now. You're in the world of emuna of yidia. That's something else. The whole story, Rabbi Nachum's story of the seven beggars, the whole story is to bring those, is to bring the boy and the girl, the chazan and kala, to through the seven beggars, through the tzaddikim, to bring them to that place of emes v'emuna, of being in a place of emuna, that's why the chasna had the davka take place in a pit, in a filth, and of course, crazy thing that was going on, because to come to that place to know that ein af echad b'olam yechal asa shum davar, nobody could do anything to me, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the need of the beggars. Nothing in the world could happen to me. It's only Hashem. Aye, but what do you mean? How could Hashem do that to me? That's a moon. That's already the meaning of Yediyah, that Hashem knows what's best for you, and there's something that you have to go through that Hashem knows for you. That for you and the Shema, this is exactly what you need. But that had to happen to you. She'ezke la'aham and she'kol ma'ashanah si'imi, kula tovasi ha'nitzchus. Help me to believe, Hashem. Davin Hashem, help me to believe that what happened to me right now is la tovasi ha'nitzchus is my absolute ultimate toiv. Not that I feel that it's good now, not that I could see that it's good now, but I believe that it's la tovasi ha'nitzchus. It's for my absolute tov. Gam im eini mevin zos klal. Even if I don't understand it at all. Even though I don't understand it at all. She'ucha leftoach pi. B'toida v'hoida. In order that a person should be able. In order that I should be able to open my mouth to thank you. And to praise you. In order that I should be able to have a life that is lit up and not dark. The shvacha shamakam. That's how we begin his brother. This was the shvacha shamakam. There shouldn't be a person whose heart is a lev ra, a bad heart, a heart that's dark. Lo yera levavi. Lis akem libi. Hashem, help that my heart shouldn't become crooked because of what I'm going through. Milahamen b'cha, that I shouldn't stop believing in you. Liftoach b'cha, and that I shouldn't stop trusting you. I shouldn't stop believing you, and I shouldn't stop trusting you. Let's see the lashon of the Sefer Chinuch in the mitzvah, and the mitzvah Beishma Malaf of Lo Lanachem, where the Torah says you can't take revenge. Why can't I take revenge? Revenge is a very normal instinct. It's a very normal impulse. So the Chinuch writes, the root of this mitzvah means the iser of taking revenge. The root of this is that a person needs to take to heart, to know and to take to heart. I'd rather whatever happens to you in your life, whether it's good or it's bad. It all comes from Hashem. And even something that another person did to you, not just a volcano. I can't believe I got stuck in this volcano. My mazel, I decided to take a trip to, you know, Vespasius or something. This summer, I decided to take a trip to Hawaii, and this thing erupted for the first time in 40,000 years. My mazel. He's like driving by with a car, and he sees the volcanoes going. And they say, anybody who's within 40 miles of this mountain, you're going to die. He said, I can't believe this. What a mazel. So then you can stop and you have enough time before it hits you enough to say, Shema Yisrael, Kol Mother Rachman Lotai. But if you got some friend that acts towards you like a volcano all of a sudden, right? And you saw it coming, you know, but you didn't get enough of a warning, but you saw it all of a sudden like some friend erupts, you know? So the Chinuch says, no, you have a bilti, even things that are between one person. There's no such thing as something that happens. Bilti, what's Hashem Baruch Hu, Alken, Kshi Tzareyu, Yachiveyu, Odom. Therefore, if a person causes you any tzar, any pain, Yedem and Avshe, you should know. Ki Ava Naisav, Garmu, Hashem is Baruch, Gozer, Lod, whatever. Doesn't have to be, Chinuch says it could be Aveyus, but there's a Cheshman that has whatever from this Gilgal, from earlier Gilgal, that needs to be taken care of. Hashem made this Xerav, Eliyoshis, Machshavaisav, next page. Therefore, give up this whole idea of taking revenge. Drop it. Don't take revenge. Because he's not the cause of that thing that came upon you. He has a cheshem of Hashem. That's why he had the misfortune of being the shlich for such a thing.
Whatever it is in your life that needs to be fixed, that's what caused this to happen.
We're going to see some next week. The Ma'aseh of Shimi ben Gera, who was cursing the Adonai, and they wanted to kill this person. So don't let him live. Let him live.
He's not the ones who's cursing. What do you mean he's not the one cursing? Tala inyim mechetov v'lo b'Shimi ben Gera.
Don't know if I understood that there was something in my life that I need to fix. Why is it that Shimi ben Gera? Why is it that he has got the son? That's between him and Hashem. But I'm not going to take revenge against Shimi ben Gera. That's Hashem's inyim, not my inyim.
My union is to wonder what could I do in my life to make myself different, that maybe I won't get cursed next time.
Maybe something's wrong with me. What could I do to look at myself?
Usually that's not our instinctive reaction to when somebody does something bad to us.
The first instinct is, what's wrong with you? Not what's wrong with me. And I'll just end with that. The mice of the I've told many times over.
Sure, I'll just end with this. But I remember years when I was a kid.
Was it a kid? In high school.
And we had in the yeshiva, there were these partitions, these cheap partitions, because they took one big classroom, they had to make them two. So they had this partition. And there were two guys, I was in one room, and two of my friends were talking on the other side of the mechitza, they were in the other room. And I heard them saying something not nice about me.
And I was unbelievably broken, because these are like my friends.
I was very, very hurt by that. I didn't say anything. But I went home. And my father, we were eating supper, my father saw, and he said, no, why are you ungeblusen? That's how he used to call it.
What's the matter with you? So I said, nah, nothing happened. He said, okay.
So I told him what happened. I told him I had these two friends of mine. They were on the other side of the pizza, and I heard them talking about me. And that's what happened. So my father asked me, what they said, was it true?
And I hadn't thought about it for a second. My father said, well, was it true? What they said, was it true?
And I said, something like partial. You know, I didn't say true. Just like I could see, you know, something like some you see the way you're talking. You know what I mean? Epis. Something epis. It was true. And my father said to me, you'd be much better off thinking about how you could change that than about them. But they have, they shouldn't have done that, but you should think more about, you're a big boy, think about yourself. That's what he told me. That was the end of the whole thing. It was like it hit me like such a brick. I never even thought about it. It was already 6-7 hours since it happened. I didn't think for a second about what they said. I only thought about how dare they. My father said, that's the main thing you worry about. Let their parents worry about it. You worry about yourself. Don't do that then. Whatever they said that was not good, then don't do it. We finished. Something to think about, no? Yeah.